Concluding trade deals that will deliver more jobs and benefit to European citizens has always been an EPP priority.
There's a potential of 22 million SMEs that could export outside.
I'm very much convinced we as European Union, we have to engage more in getting bilateral trade agreements.
To these EPP group members of the European Parliament, large and small companies are vital to a healthy EU economy. The European Union exports in 2022 were worth more than 2.3 trillion euros, making the EU the world's second largest exporter after China. And more than 30 million jobs in Europe depend on that trade. Amidst the competitive landscape with a rising China and the ever-dynamic US, free trade agreements position the EU as a key global player. In this episode of the EPP Group's special podcast series, A Europe That Protects You, we will discuss future trade agreements and the backbone of the EU's economy, European entrepreneurs and businesses. What do they need to prosper? We caught up with Jürgen Warborn, the EPP Group's spokesman on trade. He serves on the International Trade Committee and has been on parliamentary delegations to Latin America and China.
It creates jobs, it creates opportunities, it makes the market bigger, and it also creates lower prices for consumers because you have more choices, more competition, which is good for consumers. And in these times with the high inflation, it is, of course, very, very important to drive down inflation, and free trade agreements do that as well.
The European Union has recently secured free trade agreements, or FTAs, with New Zealand and Vietnam. Earlier agreements, including successful trade pacts with South Korea and Canada, led to EU exports surpassing 1 trillion euros in 2022. This so-called CETA agreement is still subject to final ratification by EU member countries, but has boosted bilateral trade by 60%. Well, now the focus is on diversification.
All those FTAs, they are also geopolitically important. And in this situation, we have seen that a lot of companies, they source mainly from China. By making free trade agreements in and around China and in Asia, and not least in India, we can shift that balance. We can make sure that they have the options of sourcing from other markets. And India, of course, is one of those markets.
That's part of adapting to what economic trends suggest, that the EU, as an export powerhouse, must confront a shifting global order. Projections indicate that by 2050, four of the world's five largest economies, China, India, Indonesia, and Brazil, will emerge from the global south.
Speaking of maintaining EU's economic power, it must be said that a functioning single market and open and fair trade are two main drivers of EU competitiveness.
That's Valdis Dombrovskis, Executive Vice President of the European Commission, responsible for economy and trade.
We continue to work very intensively towards new trade agreements. Recently, European Parliament ratified the EU-New Zealand trade agreement. We are hopefully in a final stretch of negotiations with Mercosur. We continue to negotiate with India, Mexico, Thailand, just to give some examples. So all in all, we continue to develop our network of free trade agreements.
Trade pacts that benefit EU member countries, large and small. Take it from Dombrovskis, a former Latvian prime minister.
Latvia is small and open economy. So correspondingly, for Latvia first joining the EU and EU single market was a major step because it provides lots of opportunities. And also, obviously, for Latvia to be part of the EU trade agreement was providing many new opportunities. To give also concrete examples, when Russia introduced its embargo on EU food products, Russia was an important market for Latvian agricultural producers. And it's thanks also to the trade agreements with many third countries, Latvian agricultural producers were able to diversify and find other markets in absence of Russia's market.
Warborn sees the South American countries in Mercosur and India as especially important to the EU among the trade agreements in the works.
When it comes to Mercosur, we have negotiated it for a long time. It is, of course, important because it is a big market. If we gain access to 260 million citizens and consumers, that creates enormous opportunities for European businesses. That indeed helps the Europeans' prosperity, and it creates jobs here in Europe. So very, very important if we can push this over the finishing line.
What about Taiwan? The EU already has important ties there, including trade in semiconductor chips that help run everything from phones to washing machines to cars to planes.
The Parliament and EPP are pushing for a bilateral investment agreement with Taiwan. It is also always important to facilitate trade, but it's maybe even more important for the political symbol that this will be to give support to Taiwan in their very tough situation with China. Making a partnership, a true partnership with Taiwan, a trade partnership, then we show the support for the people of Taiwan, and they should be able to decide about their own lives. And in this situation, China, of course, is a threat for them.
Trade seems to be a huge task for the future European Commission after the elections. And so there is a call for a commissioner uniquely in charge of trade.
I think we should have a full-time trade commissioner. That has been the case in the Commission, and that was, of course, the aim of the Commission from the start. But then changes happened, and I think Executive Vice President Dombrovskis, he's doing a great job. But nevertheless, trade is really important, and I think you should have a commissioner that focused 100% of the time on trade issues. I'm sure that the issue as such is so important, and I'm sure it needs that kind of attention to make the next 5 years even more successful than these 5 years.
Anna-Michelle Assimakopoulou is the EPP Group Vice Chair of Parliament's International Trade Committee. To her, multilateralism is the name of the game in trade in the coming years.
Multilateralism in trade is a way to guarantee people that they have options to get what they need when they need it. So if you have a lot of trade deals and if you have rules, then you don't live in the jungle trade-wise. Then you can get what you need, and usually you can get it cheaper, faster, and more tailored to your needs. Trade deals guarantee that no one can blackmail us because we have options. Trade deals guarantee that the dangerous dependencies that we have with respect to critical raw materials, for example, is something that we can deal with from multiple sources. And this is very important for our strategic autonomy.
That also means protecting EU interests around the world with smart trade agreements in line with our European values and standards, such as with Mercosur, Australia and Africa, with a focus on critical raw materials and closer cooperation with like-minded partners in a union of democracies.
We want modern trade agreements that broaden our scope, that deliver economic benefits, but that also reflect our value system. And modern trade agreements include chapters that deal with sustainability and that deal with critical raw materials. And the modernization of trade agreements, making them smarter in order to give better benefits and protect citizens, is the way we need to go in the next term.
China is both a force to trade with and to reckon with, says Jens Giesecke. As a member of the Industry, Research and Energy Committee, he sees a danger from within. That the EU's emission-cutting Fit for 55 package is putting European automakers at a disadvantage.
China is, of course, a very difficult issue to deal with. We have a lot of competition with China, and we have made very serious decisions in the Fit for 55 package if it comes to automotive industry. We ban the combustion engine. We will have a stop of combustion engine in 2035, and we see that in a very competitive environment, the Chinese are dominating the market. They give many subsidies to the companies, and the European answer is just a report. We will have a report on how they do the subsidies. This is not enough. We need fair trade. We need fair competition, and it's not a one-way street, so it's a level playing field we should aim at.
Daniel Caspary calls for more action as well, more fairness, especially when it comes to bidding for government contracts or public procurement. He's the head of the European Parliament's Delegation for Relations with the Countries of Southeast Asia and the Association of Southeast Asian Nations.
Our public procurement market in the European Union is open, also for bidders from China and from other countries, but in return, we expect the others to open up their markets. That is what we tried to negotiate now for about a decade. And the answer is we didn't get it. That is why on the European side, we brought into force a new legislation, which is directly attacking this issue by making it possible for the European Commission to close down our markets for bidders from countries who don't open up their markets.
That's part of the EU's trade defense toolbox the EPP Group supports.
We have some trade defense measures, for instance, if we see dumped prices in many areas. We see huge overcapacity, for instance, in China on steel at the moment. We saw it on solar panels. We saw it on shoes, on many other products, that they had such a big overproduction capacity in China that they sold their products to the European Union below their production prices, which is just dumping. Therefore, we can keep those products out, or let's say we can introduce some anti-dumping duties on those products. We have other trade defense instruments like anti-subsidies tariffs, for instance.
The main objective of those free trade agreements, or FTAs, is, of course, to boost business back home, especially for small and medium-sized enterprises. SMEs are the heartbeat of Europe's economy, the unsung heroes shaping innovation, job creation, and economic growth. They represent a staggering 99% of all businesses in the EU, employing around 100 million people and contributing over half of Europe's GDP.
We are in touch, I have to say, in daily with all SMEs, trying to help them, trying to create better and more friendly business environment.
That's Ivan Stefanets, president of SME Europe and a member of the Internal Market and Consumer Protection Committee. He's backing action to make it easier for SMEs through fair trade.
We have to be very careful in terms of trade agreement, that it should be beneficial for our SMEs and it should be win-win. And it is the same with Asian countries, with Mercosur, with African countries. So it is not only that we import, but also we have to look for our small companies that they have the opportunities to export.
Opportunities at home as well, through the EU's Horizon Research and Innovation Programme. For companies like
Multiplex, this is a small company employing 50 employees in Slovakia. Actually, they were very successful developing tests for coronavirus. Now they develop also the research in field of breast cancer, and they use financing from Horizon. So it's crucial for them to provide financing. So how we can help them? We can help to simplify legislation, and we can improve the access to finance.
Currently, we have approximately 24.4 million SMEs in the European Union, each facing unique challenges. The EPP Group, the biggest political group in the European Parliament, wants to protect the EU's business environment. They're calling for an action plan to reduce regulatory burden by a third in all sectors to allow our companies to flourish, plus a competitiveness test for any EU legislation to ensure that new laws don't hinder SMEs, and an SME envoy to reach out to businesses. Among those priorities, Angelika Winzig on the International Trade Committee wants to see reduced regulatory burden at the top of the list. For one, all the paperwork and the red tape involved in complying with EU rules can make it harder to do business at home or abroad.
You have to fill in what your company is doing, where do you get the products, from what other companies do you get your products, and this is difficult if you have a supply in China, that you get the information. Also for big companies, it's very difficult to get information on this.
And that goes for large companies as well as their smaller suppliers.
Each company will suffer from this because also the small and medium companies are involved. Even we say they are not involved, but if they work for bigger companies, they are involved, they have reporting obligations.
The solution the EPP group proposes regarding the regulations is one in, two out.
The principle one in, two out is if we have made a new regulation, we have to put one or two regulations out, throw it away. And I think this would help. It would get clearer. The regulations would get clearer. And it's important for our companies, especially the small one.
There's also protecting existing jobs and social standards against unfair competition, such as social dumping, and creating a business-friendly environment. Sean Kelly says his country, Ireland, has benefited from Europe's single market because of a level playing field. He's a member of the Committee on Industry, Research and Energy and on the delegation to Southeast Asia.
The single market is basically about equal opportunity. And the single market has been huge for any country that joined the European Union. I know when we joined the European Union way back 50 years ago, in 73, we were the poorest country in Europe. Now we're the wealthiest. And it's largely because of the opportunities, the level playing field, which has been provided. And we have to ensure that continues. And we cannot allow any country to implement measures that discriminate against other countries and favour themselves. And I think that is something we have to monitor very carefully.
That also means maintaining a level playing field with trading partners around the world.
Without DPP, we'd have walked down a blind alley where we would have naively, if innocently, and at the same time ambitiously, set targets for reducing emissions, but at the same time, the same standards wouldn't apply to our competitors, and we would disenfranchise ourselves. So we would reduce emissions. It wouldn't make much difference to the global situation because the big emitters would be actually increasing emissions, and we would lose business.
Tougher on trade and tougher on what kind of regulation to allow. How do you make sure any new legislation doesn't make life harder for SMEs? Do an SME test, says Henna Virkanen. She's on the Industry Research and Energy Committee.
For SMEs, it's much more harder, of course, to fulfill all the obligations, especially when we look to administration, because often there is a lot of paperwork, a lot of reporting obligations, and of course, they don't have the same resources. So we should pay much more attention when we are discussing about regulation, when we are making decisions that what kind of impacts they will have to our small and medium-sized enterprises. And that's why we need special SME tests.
To step up Europe's entrepreneurship, business and trade, we need to create a startup and SME-friendly environment that builds on Europe's vast creative energy and know-how. That's why the EPP Group has long called for an SME envoy in the European Commission to facilitate that. Henna Virkanen and Jens Giesecker were in the lead on that and got their wish. Their EPP colleague, Markus Pieper, was appointed to the post. Here's Jens Giesecker.
Congratulations, Markus. That was a good choice because he knows very well the procedures, and so he will really deliver on better regulation, I'm sure. He has to check with the cabinets the legislation and to see where we have additional bureaucratic burdens that might occur from the legislation, and there he has to intervene and to stop. It is the voice of the SMEs in the Commission, and it's good because it's not in the hierarchy, in no man's land. It is very, very up in the Commission, next to the Commission President and to the Commissioner for Industry. So in a way, it's like a manager in between the Commission which has the right power. So I think this is a very good decision. We waited for this SME envoy for more than 5 years now. Finally, we have it. So for the next term, he could start with the work.
Also, in the next 5 years, there is an ambition to clinch more trade agreements that benefit Europeans. Daniel Caspari has a wish list.
In this term, we didn't get many new trade agreements. We got Vietnam, we got New Zealand, we got Chile at the revised agreement. But in the next term, really, we have to deliver. Big countries like Australia, like Indonesia, many countries in the Asian region and other way on the world are waiting for us to get engaged, to get deals done. And that is what we have to deliver, because we are not talking about just strategic ideas. We are talking about how to make sure that we can keep wealth in Europe, that we can get jobs in Europe, that we can create additional benefit for the citizens living in Europe.
When it comes to entrepreneurship, business and trade, the EPP Group's main goal is for Europe to become the most attractive place to start a small business, make it grow and scale up in the EU's single market. That includes linking SME leaders to policymakers, ensuring access to finance, and including new financial instruments that allow SMEs to pursue more risky projects, thereby fostering innovation and ensuring Europe remains globally competitive, fighting for fair trade globally, and encouraging policies to stimulate SMEs, as well as creativity, innovation, ongoing learning, agility, and entrepreneurial spirit throughout the European Union. So that's all for this episode of the special EPP Group podcast series, A Europe That Protects You. Make sure to join us again as we discuss other burning topics. For more, follow us online via @EPP Group. But for now, goodbye.